AEW Dynamite was at the Masonic Temple tonight in Detroit. Kind of a cool venue. Reminded me a little bit of the Hammerstein Ballroom. Yeah, I said last week when I came on here, I was talking about Dynamite, and I said that we need some clarity this week because we still had a few weeks left to go before we get to Double or Nothing, which is on the 25th. And I said we need to get some clarity starting this week as far as what some of the other matches are going to be. Because the only thing we know so far are the two Owen Hart finals. We know Will Ospreay and Hangman Page on the men's side. And we know Mercedes and Tony, or Jamie Hayter, rather, on the other side. And we don't know anything else. We can assume, we can infer from past Double or Nothings that we're going to get Anarchy in the Arena. But nothing's really been made official yet. And so I was expecting to get a little more clarity on the show tonight. Well, we still don't know anything. We are basically still in the same position that we were in last week. We had a women's four-way eliminator match on this show where the champion was involved, Toni Storm, and she won. So it wasn't even a case where somebody else won and now we have a number one contender in the meantime, you know, before we get to Texas. Toni just won. In fact, we had two eliminator matches on this show and the champions won both of them. Okada won his. So no real clarity on that end as far as who the number one contenders for Double or Nothing are going to be for one title or the other. I don't even know that Okada is going to be defending his title. Honestly, he may end up in Anarchy in the Arena. Does he even need to defend his title? I mean, of all the championships that you could assume are not changing hands between now and then, I would even argue more so than Moxley. Okada's is the most obvious because you know they're not doing anything until we get him and Omega. So in a way, it kind of doesn't matter, but it's kind of sad, you know, that I feel that way. But all the other directions for the show are still very fuzzy. We did have Samoa Joe in the main event tonight, and he is going to be challenging Jon Moxley next Wednesday on the Beach Break episode inside a steel cage for the AEW World Championship. So tonight was more of a tune-up match, him and Claudio in the main event. MJF and the Hurt Syndicate, that storyline is continuing. We still have no thumbs up or thumbs down from Bobby. Well, we've had nothing but thumbs downs, but Bobby Lashley's decision will be rendered next week on Beach Break, as far as whether or not he will allow MJF into the Hurt Syndicate. He took Bobby's advice. He laid out Top Flight tonight, and evidently in his mind, that was enough to show Bobby Lashley that he hurts people. But we're going to have to wait 7 days to find out. And I think I have a sense of where things may be headed as far as the Hurt Syndicate stuff goes. And we got a stripped-down version of the All-Star match that we got last week. Remember we had that all-star eight-man tag match last week, which was just nonstop insanity and spot fests and everything. So we basically got that, but a slightly stripped-down form of it with a couple of less people. Instead of eight men, we had six men, but they basically gave you the same kind of match this week. And that was the story of Dynamite. I mean, that was the show. It was, as I would describe it, a perfectly average episode with some good wrestling. But, you know, you get great wrestling on most weeks on these shows. It was a perfectly average show with some good wrestling. As we continue to wait to find out what other matches are going to end up on what has traditionally been one of their biggest shows of the year. And it doesn't feel that way right now. Still a couple of weeks to go, but you can cross one more week off the calendar, and I feel like we're in the exact same position that we were in a week ago. This is your AEW Dynamite review. It is Wednesday. It is May 7th, 2025. I am the Solemn Monster. Thank you for hanging out with me for what will be the first Dynamite stream, right, for the month of May. I do believe last week was the final one for April. This is our first one for the month of May. Like and subscribe. Super chats are open. I do have to give a very special sound off shout out. This image right here, the best one that I could find, and no, that is not a Josh Alexander sign, but we had a sound off sign spotting. We had a spotting in the crowd tonight in Detroit. Shout out to Liam and Jackie. Gave me a heads up they were going to be in the crowd tonight. I didn't know where, but when I saw the sign, I knew it was them. So we got people all over the country. We have people all over the world. Liam, Jackie, thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed the show tonight. And thank you for showing the sound off some love. I always love seeing that. no matter where you may be, you can't get away from it. Josh Alexander walked out tonight. He was probably like, what the? What's that? Someone's jacking my logo? Let's talk about the beginning of the show. Because before we even get into the opening segment, they have a new song for Dynamite. Now, if you remember, they kicked off the year with a new song, and it didn't last very long. Sum 41. Man, I think of Sum 41. It takes me back to the 90s. And Sum 41 is no more. The band just wrapped up their retirement tour. Just had their last tour, I think, a couple months ago. But it is a Sum 41 song that opened us up here for Dynamite tonight. Their song, You Wanted War, from their album, Heaven and Hell. That opened the show tonight. So even though Sum 41 is no more, their song will live on, at least for a few weeks, until Tony Khan changes his mind again. If you remember, we began the year with the Pointer Sisters. And then Tony got bullied and mocked online for it, and it disappeared. They bullied him out of the song. So now Dynamite has a new opening theme song. That was not the only little production note here to mention at the beginning. There was a point, at least once, I think it happened more than once, but there was a point on the show tonight where there was a spider on the screen. Did I say 90s? What? I said 90. I know, old man. Yeah, make fun of me. Old man monster. All right, so I'm thinking early 2000s. Cut me some slack. Late 90s, early 2000s. I get them all. I bunch them all up together, okay? We're thinking Sum 41. We're thinking the Goo Goo Dolls. We're thinking all these different bands. Sugar Ray. I kind of lump them all together. Yes, you are correct. Early 2000s. Hey, Duffs, what's going on? Duffs Vids wants to know, what was the song? You Wanted War. It's not a bad song. You can look it up. It's not a bad song. I suppose people will probably enjoy it more as a good fit for the show than the Pointer Sisters. What I was going to say is that there was a spider. A little graphic would drop down. It was an animated spider at different points during the show. And the belief, now I would assume that it is for a debuting superstar. And I didn't even put two and two together initially until somebody mentioned it to me, but there has been a lot of chatter about Thekla, who is a very popular female performer from Stardom, and the belief is that she is AEW-bound. And apparently Thekla's nickname is the Toxic Spider. So the belief is that the spider might be a little preview for Thekla's pending debut. She is very likely All Elite. So if you're wondering what the hell is the spider doing on the screen, that's probably what it is. Either that or Tony Khan is bringing Spider-Man into AEW to save the day. I don't know. But I would assume Thekla is on her way in. We didn't get Thekla in the opening segment, but we got Hangman Adam Page, who does not look as good as Thekla does, but he's what we got. And he opened the show here. He got a big win in the main event last week, a hell of a main event. A better main event than we got this week between him and Kyle Fletcher in the semifinal round of the Owen Hart tournament last week. So he is going to the finals. Hangman said he's never understood why even one fan would want to cheer for him after everything that he's done. And that got him a cowboy shit chant. And he told the fans that it does make a difference. It does mean something to him. Page said he thought that he would feel closure when he took a man's hopes and dreams and nearly killed him. But he felt nothing. Nothing. After he beat Swerve in the cage. That was it all out last year. He said he thought that if he went back to the ring and finished the job that it would help, but he couldn't do it. And Page said that he doesn't know why. He said he took that anger and he bottled it up, unleashed it on anybody who got in his way. And he said it made things bad for everybody around him. Then he looked into the camera to address Swerve Strickland. He said, Swerve, I will never forget what you did to me. And I will probably never forgive you for it. But for me, I will have to put it behind me. See, this is a man. He's gone through all of the stages of grief. He's gone through sadness and anger. And now he's in the closure stage of this whole story with him and Swerve. So he said he entered the Owen Hart Cup tournament. He beat Kyle Fletcher last week in front of his family. They were in Virginia. He said he will now face the man that people call the best wrestler in the world, Will Ospreay. Ospreay's music interrupted. He made his way out to the ring to chants of happy birthday. Yes, Will Ospreay turns 32 years old today. I should mention this. Ospreay made a little bit of news today. He did an interview with the Daily Star. And he said a lot of things. He basically, and this will get a lot of people, you know, it'll get their hair standing up. It'll get a lot of people talking and debating online. He basically said he doesn't like WWE, like the product they put out. You know, he respects all the talents there and there are aspects and production elements of the show that he enjoys, but he just doesn't enjoy the WWE product. And then he also said this: I respect WWE and I admire everybody there. A lot of people think I hate Triple H, and I really don't. I've never met the guy before in my life. For me, there is always this little bit of rivalry where I'll be like, yeah, you guys are the biggest. You guys draw the bigger houses. You guys got the bigger deals. But the moment the bell rings, I think we're better than all of them. On my worst day, I am better than a lot of the guys in ring. Promos? You guys have a bunch of guys. Punk is sick. Reigns is sick. There are still things I need to catch up on. In ring, I generally don't think there is anybody from that side that matches any of our guys. Now look, he's flying the flag of AEW. And there's nothing wrong with flying the flag of the promotion that you work for. And that may be the way that he honestly feels. You know, would he be singing that tune if he would have made a different decision and signed with WWE? Probably not. But he may, you know, because there's a lot of talent in AEW. There's a wealth of talent in AEW that bell to bell are among the best in the world. And the funny thing is, Ospreay is in that category. So by any measure, if I had to sit here and make a short list of who I think are the best wrestlers, especially bell to bell, but the best wrestlers in the world, Ospreay, if he's not at the top of the list, he's on my list. Okay, Ospreay is fantastic. But to say that in ring, I don't really think their guys can match me or our guys, that's his opinion. Obviously, I disagree with that opinion. There are lots of great talents in WWE, bell to bell. Or when you incorporate other elements, he mentioned promos and stuff. You could Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre and Gunther and Io Sky, right? There's plenty of talents on the WWE side, whether he believes that or not. But here's the thing that you got to understand. He's talking in-ring bell to bell. He's talking moves. He's talking exciting wrestling matches, fast-paced wrestling matches. I do chuckle when he says, you may be bigger. You may have the bigger houses. You may have the bigger numbers. You may be doing bigger business and have the bigger deals. But bell to bell in the ring, we're the best and we're better than you. And if he believes that, that's great. But all those things he kind of waved off are kind of the most important things, right? It's when you have a company that has bigger numbers and that has bigger deals and has bigger houses and all of those things, that's pretty important. But that's not what he's focused on. He's strictly talking in-ring talent, and I'm just saying even then, you can't just wave away, you know, the WWE talent because they have a lot of really good people, both male and female. So we're not just talking on the men's side. I'm sure these comments are going to lead to World War III on social media. So that was from the Daily Star. I'm sure you'll be hearing more about that in the days to come. It's his opinion. You can agree with it. You can disagree with it. Just don't kill each other over it. So Ospreay joined Paige in the ring, and he apologized for interrupting his little therapy session. He said it was very strange that this is the first time for all the years that they've either been working for the same company or have sort of cross paths with each other, that this is the first time that they've actually spoken to one another after all these years. And he said, it was a pleasure to meet you. Ospreay said one of his favorite moments in wrestling is when Hangman took the Dark Order, and he showed them leadership and what it takes to be a cowboy. He said it was perfect when Paige took the support that he got from them and became AEW World Champion. He said things change for Page and he gets it. He said that he and the fans saw something last week, though, when Hangman beat Kyle Fletcher. Said, you smiled again. And he added that as much as people want to see Hangman beat the demons and regain the title, he has a problem with that. He says, I'm not losing. He said while Page was trying to find himself, he tore the place apart. And Ospreay mentioned what Page did to Jeff Jarrett, what he did to Christopher Daniels, and Will's friend, Swerve Strickland. Ospreay's been doing Page's job of media calls, meet and greets, photos with kids and families. But the best part about it, when the bell rings, Ospreay still shows that this is where the best wrestle. And if Page thinks that he found his smile, that doesn't mean cowboy shit to him. This is not about Hangman's redemption. This is about Ospreay's ascension. Which I thought that was a good line to close on. Don Callis walked out on stage. He was flanked by Kinosuke Takeshita, Lance Archer, Josh Alexander, Trent Beretta, Rocky Romero. And Callis talked about how Ospreay shows him just how stupid he is every single day. Callis asked Ospreay if he knew what he was standing in the ring with. Do you know who you are in the ring with right now? He goes, that is a violent, mentally unstable sociopath who put his mentor in a retirement home. Ospreay stopped Hangman from going out after Callis, and he put his arm on Hangman's chest. So Page very slowly pulled Ospreay's hand off of his chest. Callis saw this, and Callis said, look at that. Look at that. The two of you can't even get through one segment without wanting to kill each other. He said, you know what? I will take any two members of my family and put them in the ring against the two of you, assuming Paige doesn't have another mental breakdown before next week. And we did get confirmation later in the show that next week it will be Hangman and Ospreay. Can they coexist? They're going to be tag team partners on the Beach Break episode next week, taking on the Don Callis family. I mean, this was fine. They're trying to build tension between the two men in the finals of the Owen. We still have a few weeks left to go. So I would have expected them to do something like this, to do something like, you know, can they coexist? They both are well-liked. They're both baby faces in the eyes of the crowd. You have to build tension between them somehow. This is their way of doing it. This was their first interaction with each other. It was mostly Ospreay talking. Right? Hangman didn't really say anything after Ospreay came out. So maybe next week or even tomorrow night on Collision, Hangman may get his chance. But I thought this was fine for what it was. Stokely Hathaway and FTR, they came out. They kind of came out of nowhere. They were in the crowd. So where the announcers were positioned in this building, it looked like they were sitting in the crowd. Or at least they had their backs to the crowd in a way that made it look like they were kind of sitting in the crowd. So all of a sudden, there's Stokely Hathaway and FTR, because he is their new agent, and they walk up to Tony Schiavone at the announce desk, and Hathaway asks if Tony or Nigel McGuinness have an issue with FTR. He said, FTR apologized to both you guys, but Schiavone still has negative things to say about them every week. Stokely called Schiavone a decrepit, pasty piece of shit, or as he was about to say the word shit, Tony kind of stopped him. He stood up. He said, that's enough. Are we going to end up getting like a tuxedo match? Remember the tuxedo matches that WWE did with Howard Finkel and Harvey Whippleman many years ago? We don't need that. I don't need to see Tony Schiavone involved in anything physical, frankly. But it made me think of that for some reason. So Hathaway shoved Schiavone backwards into his chair. Schiavone stood back up, but Harwood and Wheeler, they stood in front of Stokely. Wheeler told Schiavone, relax, okay? And then he turned to the camera and he shifted their focus to Daniel Garcia's issues with them. Wheeler said that whatever is happening at AEW Collision on Thursday, because the show is airing on Thursday this week, tomorrow night, and I believe it's on TBS as well, not TNT. He said, whatever's happening on Collision, it would hurt them more emotionally than it would hurt Garcia. Harwood told Schiavone to tell Nigel that we will see him on Thursday at Collision. Nice try. Trying to get people to tune into Collision to see what's going to happen here. with FTR and Daniel Garcia. I wish I could care. We have a four-way here to talk about. We had a four-way eliminator match for the AEW Women's World Championship with the champion, Timeless Toni Storm, Penelope Ford, Thunder Rosa, and Anna Jay, who was openly talking in the back before this match. She was in the back with her good friend, Anna Jay. Anna Jay was in the back with her good friend, Harley Cameron, talking about her big ass. This is what she said. She's got a big ass. I think Anna Jay is a beautiful woman. And you know what? If she thinks she can use that to her advantage in her matches, then more power to her. So if anybody but Tony wins this, the idea is that that person would become the number one contender for the AEW World Championship. Jay and Ford, they brawl to the floor immediately, right at the bell. That left the former Thunderstorm, or I guess Thunder Tits, as Tony would call them. Tony Storm and Thunder Rosa alone in the ring together to duke it out. There was a Fisher woman suplex that got broken up by Penelope, who kicked Storm low. Taz wondered if, does that mean Tony is wearing a cup? Ford wiped out Jay and Storm with a moonsault off the apron, but then Rosa hit a tornado dive onto the pile. That took us into the commercial. Back from the break, Ford went up top, landed an Orihara moonsault onto the pile. And then Penelope missed her corner handspring on Anna, who connected on a spin kick, but Tony was there to wipe them both out with some sweet cheek music. Rosa launched off Storm's back, poetry in motion style. They were cooperating with each other here briefly for a drop kick in the corner. Thunder Tits, though, they could not get Ford up for a double suplex, which, I mean, you couldn't get Penelope Ford up for a double suplex, really? Is it that difficult? So that was kind of ridiculous. But they tried to get her up for one. But what they were doing was they were stalling for Megan Bain to come out. So the Megasus makes her way out, lays out Tony and Thunder Rosa, because, again, in a four-way match, as with a triple threat, it is no disqualification. Referee can't do anything. So Anna escaped Fate's Descent, which is her F5 finish. Ford tried to attack from behind. Bain, though, laid Anna out with a sit-out powerbomb. Here comes Harley Cameron, who was in the back with Anna Jay, as I mentioned earlier, getting Anna pumped up for the match. She comes out with a pipe, and she clotheslines Megan Bain to the outside, blasts her repeatedly. I mean, she is laying pipe on this woman left and right, and the two of them end up fighting off to the back. In the ring, Ford had Anna trapped in an Indian deathlock, allowing Tony to get some revenge. She stomped Ford low. The champion then sank in a crossface chicken wing and got Ford to tap out. And when the match was over, Rosa hugged Storm and then handed her the women's title. Excalibur then informed us that Tony is now 12-0 in eliminator matches. I thought good stuff here from all four. Of all the ladies here, Toni Storm is the one who was mostly, you know, in a position where she took a back seat and allowed the others a chance to shine, especially Penelope Ford. I thought had a chance to shine in this match. But the champion wins anyway, and I don't really understand it. Maybe it'll make more sense in a week or two, but I don't really understand what the point of this was if they weren't going to use this to set up a direct challenger for her at Double or Nothing. Because you have a four-way situation here. Because last week we had Tony in a singles match against Yamashita, and then she had another eliminator match against Lady Frost. So now they added more people. They turned it into a four-way, and I said, well, there must be a reason for this. Somebody can win. They don't have to necessarily pin the champion, right? She could lose the match but not take the losing fall. And that's how they set up a number one contender. And then she won. So she just keeps beating people left and right in these eliminator matches. So they did not make it really any clear what her next direction is going to be outside of whoever wins the Owen is going to challenge her in Texas in July. We know that. But as far as Double or Nothing, we really don't know what they're doing. Now, I'm guessing Megan Bain's involvement in this match is an indicator that maybe they're going to go for a rematch from Dynasty. And we're going to get Tony and Megan again. It could mean that even though she didn't touch Tony, I don't, she didn't really go after her here in this situation. We could end up with Megan in that match again. I think Penelope, though, could be added and probably should be added. So I don't know if that would make it a triple threat if you want to do a handicap match type of situation. Because then in that match, see, if you did it that way, Penelope can take the losing fall so Megan doesn't have to. Because Megan already lost. It's not great to send her back in there with Tony and just have her get beat flat. If Penelope is in there, even in a two-on-one situation, she could take the fall. You know, and that could even lead to a split between Megan and Penelope. So, yeah, Bayne doesn't win the belt. Nobody really expects her to if she gets a rematch anyway, because if she was going to win it, she would have won it last month. But she doesn't have to take the losing fall. But, again, we'll just have to wait and see, because there wasn't any more clarity given to what the next challenger is going to be for Toni Storm. But we had the Hurt Syndicate out to the ring next. We had Bobby Lashley, we had Benjamin Shelton, and we had MVP. MVP said that they had an official announcement here. He introduced his allies with him, and he said that they are the AEW Tag Team Champions. He said AEW was where the best wrestle, and he asked why teams were not stepping up for a shot at the tag team titles. He asked, is anybody going to step up? Top Flight did. Dante and Darius Martin. They walk out onto the stage, and Darius said they've been down in their luck lately. He said teams like Leo Rush and Action Andretti, who they did show in the crowd, were afraid to step up to the Hurt Syndicate because they hurt people. Darius said that they get knocked down, but they get up again. Ah, see, there's another one. There's another one, Chumbawamba. We're talking about the bands earlier from the late 90s and the early 2000s. Man, I mentioned Sum 41, I mentioned Goo Goo Dolls, I mentioned Sugar Ray. Who am I missing? Oh, Savage Garden, that was another one. Savage Garden, and Chumbawamba. A little bit of tub thumping. It's the only fucking song of theirs I know. You get knocked down, but you get up again. I don't even know if Top Flight was born when that song became a hit. How old are Darius and Dante? Maybe I don't want to know. How old are Darius and Dante Moore? Were they born when Chumbawamba had tub thumping? Because that had to be like 97, right? 97, 98? I don't even know if they were alive. Oh, man. Anyway, Dante said they've held their own with championship caliber teams in the past. He knows that they can do it again. Of course, he failed to mention that they have yet to win gold. But they've held their own in there before. So Darius asked the fans if they wanted to see a miracle. So MJF ran out. As Top Flight is standing there with their backs turned, MJF runs out. He's wearing a white tank top. He's got his fists taped up. And he attacks them from behind. He runs Darius into the ring post. And Dante ended up bleeding after he got run into the ring steps. Not like a gusher, but he had blood on his forehead. MVP held him up. Or MJF, rather, held him up and showed the bloody head to the Hurt Syndicate, almost like a trophy. And then he powerbombed Dante onto the ring apron. So MJF gets into the ring, and he goes face-to-face with Bob. And MVP hands MJF a microphone. And MJF says, I hurt people. And Lashley tells him, I'll have an answer for you next week. I don't think it is a coincidence that in less than an hour, Cedric Alexander is going to be a free man. His 90-day non-compete from WWE will officially be up. And I know this because we got his first match on Friday in Chicago for House of Glory. So he's going to start getting out there now doing independent dates. But as of midnight, he will be a free man. And it's very interesting that, you know, the Hurt Syndicate is one of the top attractions right now in this company, and there's something missing. Now, the Hurt Syndicate, as it is right now, is actually quite great. They don't necessarily need to add anybody, but it does feel incomplete. If you think back to the original Hurt business, and it just so happens that Cedric is about to become available, Lashley is telling him, next week, beach break, I'll have a decision for you. I'll have an answer for you. I think we're about to get the full band back together. Where MJF fits into all this next week, I'm assuming the answer will still be no, and it can very well still lead to him costing them the tag team titles the next time they defend them, Double or Nothing, whenever. Again, I've talked about this before. The match for Double or Nothing, which they are going to have to start setting up soon if they're going to do it, should be them against FTR. You have MJF cost them the titles, and then, you know, continue the story on from there. I don't know if that's what they're going to do, but I do think we're probably going to end up with a proper Hurt Business reunion next week. That's what I'm thinking. Now, the Young Bucks and Kazuchika Okada were shown in the back. Excalibur pitched it to the EVPs, not very enthusiastically, and they called him out for it. So Okada had a few words for his opponent tonight in the other eliminator, Kevin Knight. He said that Kevin Knight is not... Actually, he said, Kevin Knight, have a good night, bitch. And he walked off. Like, Okada, when I see him now, and God bless the guy, Okada is just the walking embodiment of, I'm cashing these checks. I don't have to take the kind of abuse on my body that I was doing in Japan. And I'm loving life. I show up to work. I say, bitch. I have a, you know, good match on television. I go home. I don't have to work house shows. I don't have to be on the road every day. I don't have to break my back anymore. I don't have to work strong style anymore. I say, bitch, people laugh. I do my little rainmaker pose. I flip people off. I get paid millions of dollars. I don't want to say he doesn't give a shit anymore, but when I see him, that's what I see. And it's not bad work if you can get it. And certainly the abuse that he has put his body through over the years and all the classic matches that he had, if that's what he wants to do, like I said, God bless the guy. And I'm sure when they get to Texas, he and Kenny are going to kill it. You know, when he's motivated enough and he's in there with the right opponent, he could still go out there and you could still see flashes of the old Okada. But when I see him, that is what I see. So anyway, he walked off at that point. After he said, bitch, he walked off. And Ricochet walked in. And Ricochet said the six-man match that he and the Bucks have tonight, that was his idea. Said he knows the Bucks have a swerve problem. And he's got his number, just like he does Mike Bailey. So if they follow his lead, they'll be on their way to victory. And Ricochet leaves, and the Bucks then open their door to their locker room. And inside, they find a darkened room, but sitting in the room are the Death Riders. And Matt Jackson asks, is there something we can help you with? And as they walk in, Marina Shafir slams the door shut behind them. So we have a little bit of intrigue here. We have a little bit of intrigue, only it involves the Death Riders. So for me anyway, there's actually very little intrigue here. I can't really bring myself to care. But they're going for the intrigue factor. You know, what are they talking about behind closed doors? Actually, what I'm assuming is that this little meeting has to do with the Elite getting involved in the cage match next week and helping to cost Samoa Joe the AEW World title. That then leads directly into Anarchy in the Arena, where we have the Death Riders and the Elite partnered up to take on Team AEW, the AEW Avengers. That's where I assume this is leading. Quizzical, which story are you referring to? Says, Sean Ross Sapp has said the WrestlePurist story is false and has been debunked by AEW itself. But you didn't mention which story you're talking about. Nick Wayne was about to make his entrance for a Ring of Honor television title defense. As soon as he walked out, he was immediately cut off by Christian Cage's music. Always has to overshadow him. Christian walks out with Mother Wayne and Kip Sabian, and we were told that Nick will be facing off with someone from Christian's past. And that someone turned out to be the Man-Beast Rhino, who got a really nice reaction because they were in Detroit. He, of course, is from Detroit. So naturally, they wanted to save him as a surprise for the show. He really wasn't a surprise, though, because Rhino and AEW publicly acknowledged all week, maybe even last week, that he was coming in to work some dates. So we already knew he was coming in. And if you put two and two together and you said, oh, Detroit, you could pretty much figure he was going to be on this show. And probably on Collision. If I had a bet, he'll be on Collision as well tomorrow night, would be my guess. Oh, the EJ. Oh, yes. Okay. The EJ Nduka story. I did see that. What was that? There was a story out there about how he had such a great physique, right? What was the story? He had such a great physique. He was so ripped and chiseled. They didn't want him in the ring standing next to certain people, making them look bad. I saw something like that floating around, and I said, that doesn't even make any sense. Like, that's just a weird story. I don't know where that came from. Rhino comes out, though. Christian has a big smirk on his face. Nick used his speed early on. He hit a missile drop kick out of the corner. Wayne kept Rhino grounded, but he was a little too cocky, and he missed the standing moonsault. They mention how Nick Wayne is heading to Japan tomorrow for the Best of the Super Juniors tournament. Rhino delivered a big belly-to-belly before signaling for the gore. And Kip Sabian, he jumped up on the apron to run distraction, allowing Cage to trip up Rhino. Nick charged in, but he got flattened by a spinebuster. And as Rhino went for the gore, Wayne sidestepped him, which allowed Nick to hit a kill switch. He used Christian's move. And he pinned Rhino. It's a very short match. I didn't time it. Maybe it was, I don't know, 3 minutes, somewhere in that neighborhood. It was short, but honestly, it's the way you use somebody like Rhino in this situation. It didn't have to be anything prolonged. I think he'll probably end up on Collision tomorrow. And if he wrestles, you know, it may be something a little bit longer, but he got a nice little cameo here, but they used him the way they should have used him. Now, when the match was over, Wayne went to go rip the ROH TV title away from Christian, who faked like he was about to wrap it around Nick's waist. But instead, he stared at it, and then he threw the title down on the mat right at Nick's feet. And he left the ring with Kip Sabian. Mother Wayne stayed behind to comfort her son. So the slow burn continues between Christian and Nick Wayne, and I am still sitting here wondering if what many of us believe, if what I believe to be true is what happens, which is that in Texas, we get a tag team match with Copeland and Christian reunited on their biggest event of the year, their biggest possible live audience. You get a Copeland and Christian reunion, and they take on FTR. You've got 2 months now, okay? It is May 7th. All In is July 12th. So we're about 2 months away now. You've got 2 months to figure out how you're going to get these two guys back together after all of the animosity and all of the acrimony and the back and forth, and Christian screwed him twice out of the world championship. In 2 months, can they reasonably get these two back together at a time, no less, where the story they're building is between Christian and Nick Wayne? I can't imagine Christian being anything resembling a babyface in the next 2 months. And I don't see him being like, I'm not talking like smiley white meat babyface, but babyface enough to even put his differences aside with Cope and agree to tag with him. That's what I'm most curious about. If that's what they're doing, how do they get there without it feeling completely rushed? Because the direction right now doesn't even feel like that. You know, maybe that's not the direction. I can't imagine that it isn't, because look at the way Copeland got taken out. When he comes back, he's going to target FTR, and he's not going to do it by himself. Right? It would have to be Christian if it's the only thing that makes sense. Christian and Nick Wayne, though, when do they do that? When does that split? When does the bottom fall out from the relationship between those two? There's no pay-per-view next month. There's a bunch of big episodes of Dynamite they're doing, Fight for the Fallen. There's no actual pay-per-view next month. So really, we go Double or Nothing, and then the next big event would be Texas. That's what the calendar looks like. In the past, we've had Forbidden Door in June. Forbidden Door this time is in August, so that's a change. So we'll see. This week's episode is sponsored by ExpressVPN. If you've ever browsed in incognito mode in Google Chrome, you may incorrectly believe that you're browsing in secret. But incognito is not as incognito as you may think. Only a couple of years ago, Google settled a $5 billion lawsuit. That's billion with a B, after being accused of secretly tracking users in incognito mode. And their defense? Incognito does not mean invisible. In fact, all of your online activity is still 100% visible to a ton of third parties. That is, unless you use ExpressVPN. Without it, these third parties can still see every website you visit, even in incognito mode. That includes your internet service provider. They can see it. Your mobile network provider, they can too. Even the folks administering your Wi-Fi network at work or at school, even in your own house. ExpressVPN reroutes 100% of your traffic through secure encrypted servers, so third parties can't see your browsing history. So you can tell your boss or your teacher or even dear old mom and dad to buzz off. ExpressVPN is the best VPN because it hides your IP address, which is a unique identifier that everybody has on their computer. That makes it extremely difficult for third parties to track what you're doing online. It's also easy to use. You just tap that app to open it and click one button to get protected. It'll work on all of your devices too, including your laptop, your phone, and your tablet, so you can stay private even when you're on the go. There's a reason ExpressVPN is rated number one by top tech reviewers like CNET and The Verge. I just got back from Chicago, and I'm headed back out there again this weekend, and I'll be sure to keep ExpressVPN open on my phone while I'm away from home. I'm not taking any chances when it comes to my personal data. That's one of the reasons it's so appealing to me. And when they approached me to talk about it, I said, hell yeah, a service that actually works, and I could talk about from personal experience. Hell, I'm still using it every week to connect to a Canadian server whenever I watch Monday Night Raw on Netflix, so I can see all of the segments that happen during the commercial breaks. That's another neat benefit of using ExpressVPN. And don't forget, they have another European tour coming up, WWE does, in a few months. I'm just saying. Now's as good a time as any to give it a try if you haven't yet. Protect your online privacy today by visiting expressvpn.com/solomonster. That's expressvpn.com/solomonster, and you can get an extra 4 months free. expressvpn.com/solomonster. They aired highlights of Sammy Guevara making his return to AEW. He's been banished for a while to Ring of Honor, doing tag matches, tag team champions with Dustin Rhodes, but he was back on AEW television, winning a four-way on Collision this past Saturday for $100,000. So more money. Again, the stakes being raised here in these matches on TV. Sammy won that match. Then they went to a Roosh promo. And Roosh was very upset. He was standing in the stairwell. He blamed Kevin Knight. They were both part of that match. And he blamed Kevin Knight for costing him $100,000. And Roosh said, when you mess with the bull, you get the horns. I'm just saying it the way he says it because I like the way he says it. When you mess with the bull, you get the horns. So he said he was coming for Kevin Knight. Kevin Knight didn't have to wait very long. He got him later in the show. Now, last week, we had an all-star eight-man tag team match. It was, who was it? Omega was in there. Speedball was in there. Kevin Knight was in there. Mark Briscoe was in there. And on the opposing side, you had Ricochet and you had the Elite. So this week, they gave us a slightly stripped-down version of that. Instead of eight men, it was six men. And this time it was Swerve Strickland with Speedball and Mark Briscoe taking on Ricochet and the Young Bucks. Ricochet wanted to kick things off until he realized that it would be against Swerve. Then he wasn't so happy about that. He tried to bail out. The Bucks were not having any of it. That led to Swerve kicking Ricochet's ass. Later on in the match, the Bucks hit stereo slingshot sentons as Ricochet did a float over senton. During all of their posing, though, Strickland, Briscoe, Bailey, they all recovered. Ricochet thought that they would all head back into the ring together as a united front. The Bucks did not agree. They did not feel the same way. So Ricochet was all on his own. Bailey nailed Ricochet with a pump kick that caused him to fall onto the Bucks. Strickland and Briscoe then followed with double dives out onto the Bucks. And back inside, Ricochet got picked apart by some redneck kung fu and taekwondo from Briscoe and from Bailey. The Bucks hit the double stomp bounce back powerbomb combo to Bailey a short time later, who was draped over the top, until Matt Jackson did a huge dive out onto Mark Briscoe, and there was a slingshot 450 splash by Ricochet that capped up. I mean, there was just one. I actually gave up trying to jot down like some of the bigger spots here, like in the middle of this match. There was so much going on here. I mean, it was just the usual chaos that you get in a multi-man match on this show. If you've seen one, you know, you've seen them all. Briscoe was dominated through the commercial break. Finally, though, he was able to break free to Speedball, who ran wild with some kicks. There was a running shooting star on Matt Jackson that got a near fall. The match broke down. Everybody hit a wild move of some sort. Again, I just stopped taking some individual notes here because what's the fucking point? It was a bunch of big spots. The fans enjoyed it because they love the manic nature, you know, of these types of matches. It's just constant motion. Boom, 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 boom. So the live crowd eats it up. One thing AEW does well, as far as their audience, the audience that is there, they know their audience. You know, Tony Khan is very much in tune with what his existing hardcore audience wants and expects from his shows. And so when you watch these shows and he will throw out a match, whether it could be anything. I mean, it could be a gauntlet match. It could be a multi-man tag match like this, whatever it may be. And you get that manic kind of match where it's just one big spot after another. Somebody kips up, counters out of something. We get some sort of, you know, double or triple or quadruple down, and everybody is on their feet. Like, we see that a lot on the show. It's not for everybody. He knows what they want because it's the same thing he wants. Now, whether it grows the audience is really of no consequence or of any concern to him. He just wants to give the existing fans what he thinks they love. And this is what they love. You can just look at the crowd tonight, you know, during the high kind of peak of the match, you know, and how loud they were. Strickland, though, caught Ricochet with a house call kick. Nick ran in with the Destroyer, which Swerve briefly no-sold before connecting on another house call for the reset. The Bucks went for a double super kick on Bailey, who roundhouse both their legs away. Matthew did a little Matrix move out of a super kick, but Bailey took out the Bucks before Swerve made the tag. And finally, he was able to get his hands on both Bucks before delivering a springing uppercut. Double suplex followed that. Ricochet flew in for a springboard hurricanrana. Strickland held on, though, empowered him into a spinning power slam. Briscoe was in with a rolling Death Valley driver on Matt. Bailey followed with the backflip double knees. Briscoe connected on a froggy bow. Nicholas, though, saved his brother. Strickland wanted to end the match. Matthew caught him with a small package, and he pinned him. He got him with a flash pin out of nowhere. The Bucks and Ricochet, they scurry away like rats, basking in the afterglow of their victory here. Swerve just sits there in utter disbelief. He got caught, and he can't believe it. He's stunned by what just happened. I didn't see Swerve being the one to take the losing fall here, so that surprised me as well. But this will play into the story. You know, he's trying to get his hands on these two. He's trying to get his revenge on the Bucks. There's been bad blood between them going all the way back to when Swerve was champion and the Elite started that initial angle where they were kind of taking over things in AEW. And this is all going to culminate, I do believe, in a tag team match at All In, where we're going to get Swerve and Hangman. And you saw it in the opening segment where Hangman was saying, look, you know, Swerve, I'm never going to forget. I'm never going to forgive, but I'm going to put it aside. I have an eye towards the future. So if he's not going to win the Owen and he's not going to be the one to challenge Jon Moxley, what we're getting is Swerve and Hangman together as one unified front against the Young Bucks. That's what this is building to. So this all feeds into that larger story. The match itself, you know, again, it was fun for what it was. It was virtually the same thing we saw last week, and I thought last week's match was better, but it was virtually the same thing. Live crowd went nuts for parts of it, you know, when they were going 100 miles an hour with all the spot fest stuff. So it was what you would expect from the six men here in this match. Now, Renee was backstage with Will Ospreay and asked him about the Hangman match coming up at Double or Nothing. He was interrupted very quickly by MJF, who shilled his Dynamite Diamond ring that you can now purchase. This is a real thing. I had to go check it out myself. And if you go to a cheap plug here, if you go to Shop AEW, You too can own your own dynamite diamond ring replica. It's up for $149.99. And you can own this. Look at this thing here. Material is zinc. What is this? Size 11, MJF size. Designed by the Diamond Sheik of Lux Jewelers. So there you go. If you want to have your own dynamite diamond ring, that's the place to go. Now, I have a question for you. Here's my question. How is it that AEW can produce a dynamite diamond ring replica to sell, but they can't market their own mini Mercedes Moné dolls? How is that possible? There is a fan online that has made his own mini Moné puppets, or he made one, and he has leftover material, and he's talking about making more of them and then donating the proceeds of what he makes to the charity of Mercedes and Harley Cameron's Choice, which I think is a very cool thing. But the thought occurred to me, because it just makes me think of the Lily doll that Alexa Bliss carries around. She's been carrying that fucking doll around for at least 3 years. And WWE has made an absolute fortune off that thing. That's why when she came back after 2 years, she was still carrying that freaking doll. How is it possible that they're making bank off that doll? AEW has this mini Moné thing, and they're not making their own dolls. Like, what are we doing? We got the ring here, but no dolls. What are we doing here? They got to get that shit out ASAP. I feel like they've already missed the peak. It may be too late by the time it comes out. Maybe it's in the works. But if they have the Dynamite Diamond Ring replica, then soon enough, we should see those little dolls. And I guarantee you, they'll make a lot of money off them. Unless they're just made completely cheaply that they fall apart. That's also possible. People are going to be playing with their mini Moné dolls. Freaking hair's going to be falling out. Arm's going to fall off. Like, what is this made of? Where is this material from? It's leftover material from all those hologram masks. So MJF told Ospreay that he hopes he wins the Owen Hart tournament. And he hopes he goes all the way to the learning tree or Joshua tree. Fuck that tree. Fuck that tree indeed. Oh, it's Liam. Oh, look who it is. It is Liam. We got to give him cheers. It's our friend Liam. Liam is the one who had the sound-off sign tonight. He was in Detroit. He was at the show. I will read his message. It says, a great show tonight. Collision tomorrow. Looking to be a banger. The wife was geeked to see that you tweeted our sign. I'm glad I saw it. Some people brought it to my attention that, because I had looked down initially, I didn't see it. So I rewound and saw it myself. But I knew I was on the lookout for it because he gave me a heads up. You know, but you never know. Sometimes it's hard. You know, it's hard to get them to capture it on camera. It's happened a few times before where we've been able to get the sound off logo or sign on TV. Somebody's like right there and it's like, all right, that's fucking great. So, yeah, there it was. So, Liam, thank you. Both of you. I very much appreciate that. You guys are awesome. And I'm glad you had a good time. So anyway, MJF wants to see Will Ospreay go to Texas. He wants him to be the one to beat Jon Moxley and win the AEW World Championship because it's going to make things so much easier for him. It'll be an easy dub for him to go in there and beat Ospreay, which he's done before, right? That roughly 60-minute match they had on Dynamite almost a year ago. Ospreay asked why MJF was not in the Owen Hart tournament, but he realizes that if he entered, Ospreay would drop him right on his head, just like he did at Wembley last year. And on that note, he said, how's the power in your arms these days, Max? MJF said Ospreay is the reason they put instructions on shampoo bottles. But if they ever wrestle again, he'll find out that there is no one on the level of the devil. He went to go leave, and Ospreay pulled him back in and said, he is. Because Will Ospreay is on another level. Hey, David, what's going on? David says they have a commemorative... Wait, hold on a second. What does that say? They have a commemorative lucha mask for AEW All In now. What do you mean a commemorative lucha mask for All In? They have a hologram mask. They have another mask? For who? You know they should sell. They should sell the Beast Mortos, his mask. That'd be pretty cool. They got to start selling that. WWE, if they're not already doing it, they need to start selling those Jacob Fatu Samoan werewolf masks. I haven't checked to see, but that's another one. Should make little knockoff versions. Anyway, Renee was backstage for her sit-down interview with Jamie Hayter, who did not do anything this week to kill off the Daphne from Scooby-Doo comparisons. Honestly, I'm looking at like a screenshot of Jamie sitting there talking to Renee, and it looks like something, if I were thumbing through like my parents' old photo albums with photos from the 1970s, I feel like this would have been a Polaroid that would have been in the album. It's certainly a choice. Renee talked about her Owen Hart Foundation final at Double or Nothing against Mercedes Moné. Hayter said this means more to her than it does to Mercedes, who talked nonsense last week. Hayter said she wants to get to know the real Mercedes, the human behind the hype, not the brand or the egotistical woman that we've seen today. Renee said Mercedes said last week that Hayter reminds her of herself. And Hayter said, well, that's an insult. Mercedes ran away last week like she owed her money. But Hayter doesn't have Mercedes' resume. What she does have is grit and truth. This isn't about gold or glory. This is about showing that Mercedes is not untouchable. She is not the second coming. Renee brought up the back injury for Jamie Hayter. Jamie didn't want to talk about that. She immediately deflected away. She said, I'm fine. The back is fine. I don't want to talk about that. At that point, Mercedes burst into the shot. She attacked from behind, and then she ran away. They were brawling briefly, but she ran away. And Jamie chased her. They ended up in the box seats. Back inside the arena. And Mercedes tried to run again. Hayter got in a couple of shots. She tried for a Haterade. Mercedes ducked it, and she escaped to the back. So instead of chasing her to the back, Jamie just gave up. And she turned and she looked into the camera to talk to Mercedes, who wasn't there anymore. She had disappeared to the back. And because she turned her back, it was actually quite comical. I don't know why it was so funny to me, but Mercedes runs back out, and she attacks Jamie from behind. And she knocks her down, leaves her laying, puts her in the statement maker, and gets pulled off by referees. I don't know why I found it so funny, the way she ran back out there and attacked her from behind. Jamie not wanting to talk about her back is interesting, because I think that was put in there. It will be a focal point, I think, of the match, and it could be an out if Jamie is going to lose this match, and I really hope she doesn't, but she probably will. I know she probably will. It could be that they're going to create an out for her with the back. And if Mercedes works it over enough, it'll factor into the finish of the match. And she can, not that she'll use it as an excuse, but like the announcers might use it as an excuse. You know, she fought valiantly, but, you know, the pain was just too much. They could be setting up, you know, for something like that at Double or Nothing. We've still got 2 weeks left before the pay-per-view. So we'll see how they occupy those 2 weeks, because we still have some time, you know, before we get there. I don't think that we want to see too many angles like the one we saw tonight. You don't want to just do that for the next 2 weeks. So we'll see what they come up with. Okay, so the lucha mask that AEW has is decorated for All In Texas. It looks like a knockoff of the El Grande Americano mask and Mr. America mask from back in the day. Hey, you know what? There's something else that WWE needs to sell. They're usually pretty on point. Like, anything they can make money off of, like, it's up instantly. I've said before, if they could stamp a fucking logo on their mother's ass and sell her on the website, they would. So if it's not already up, I would be kind of surprised if El Grande Americano, I know he's got a t-shirt up, but if they don't get his mask up soon, he's the new speed champion, by the way. I should mention, I mentioned this on Monday night. And we were kind of celebrating. And so I have to bring it up again that El Grande Americano got his first taste of gold. And he is the WWE Speed Champion. This is something that is being celebrated throughout the world of Lucha Libre. This is a groundbreaking landmark event. And it deserves to be celebrated. I don't have my maracas with me, but if I did, we'd be having a party right now. I'm going to let this music play for a little bit as I talk about the next segment. As we had Alicia Atoot backstage with Willow Nightingale, brings up her ongoing issue. Am I going to be able to make it through this segment without just absolutely breaking down? So Alicia brings up Willow's ongoing issues with the Death Riders. Willow said that she knows the list of people wanting revenge on the Death Riders is growing, but wants to be the first one to put her fist in their faces. Chris Statlander then walks in, and Willow said that she knows Statlander is sorry and asks if she's just feeling remorseful over losing the Owen. Nightingale reminds Statlander that she could have won the Owen last year, but didn't because of Statlander. So Nightingale stops Statlander from leaving and said if Statlander wants to settle things in the ring, how about tomorrow on Collision? There's a lot of sickos. That's what she said. This is what they call themselves. There's a lot of sickos wanting to see them wrestle again. And Statlander accepts the challenge and the two of them shake hands. Honestly, that's the one interesting thing that they have added to the show tomorrow. Chris Statlander against Willow Nightingale. They had a hell of a match at All Out last year. So that'll be very good. Then we had Kazuchika Okada against Kevin Knight in a Continental Title Eliminator match. Am I the only one who's in the mood to go dancing right now? I'm in a very dancing mood. So during Kevin Knight's entrance, Roosh attacked from behind. Remember what he said earlier? If you mess with the bull, you get the horns. So he attacked him from behind, violently sent him into the ring steps as Dralístico was out to watch the beating. And Roosh is choking him out with some of the cables, television cables, until Mike Bailey runs out to make the save and fight off Dralístico. Aubrey Edwards is asking Kevin Knight if he still wants to wrestle, and Knight says he does. And Aubrey tells Mike Bailey, okay, you've got to go to the back. So while all of this is happening, the expression on Okada's face as all of this is taking place is absolutely going to be turned into a new meme. He was so nonplussed by the whole thing, it was just comical. So the bell sounds, and Okada quickly spikes Knight with a DDT for a close near fall. Knight got a roll-up of his own. Okada was up first, though, hit a huge flapjack. And Knight got in a few shots. He tried a monkey flip, only for Okada to turn him around and hit his signature dropkick, which caused Knight to tumble outside, heading into the commercial break. So Knight fought back with a sky high as Okada scurried to the corner. Knight, though, met him with a standing Hurricane Rana and a leaping follow-up splash for a two count. Knight went for a leaping DDT. Okada, though, countered into an air raid crash on the knee. And then he went up top. He hit his elbow drop before the Rainmaker flip-off to all of the fans. So the Rainmaker attempt after that was countered into an inside cradle by Kevin Knight. Knight then leapfrogged a Rainmaker back into a backflip kick. But as he went for the UFO splash, Okada got the knees up. Okada missed his drop kick. Knight connected successfully on his. And then he wanted a springboard clothesline. Okada, though, drop kicked him out of midair and followed with a Rainmaker flush. And he picked up the win. After the match was over, Okada delivered two more Rainmakers and was about to deliver a third when Knight just collapsed. And Bailey ran back out to make the save. And Okada smiled as he went to the back. So another great showing here for Kevin Knight, who I think has been making the most of his minutes, right? Or as they say, maximize your minutes, right? We've heard wrestlers say that before. he's been doing that. You know, he goes out there and he's part of these matches and he is often the highlight. You know, he's doing what he can to stand out. So I thought for him, it was a great showing. The post-match stuff, it wasn't anything particularly vicious, but if he's flying to Japan to be part of the best of the Super Juniors, this felt like a write-off until he's ready to come back. So I would not expect to see him again for a while if that's the idea. You know, they keep him off TV for a while because he may not be around. So this was their way of writing him off. And they close the show with Samoa Joe, the number one contender for the AEW World Championship, taking on Claudio Castagnoli. Let's skip ahead to the post-commercial break, because nothing of any note happened before the commercial. But it was all Claudio throughout the final break. He had a Cobra Clutch applied. Joe fought free. He pulled off the Manhattan Drop, big boot, running senton combo that Joe is known for. But Claudio, again, went to the eyes, and he followed with a wild uppercut. Hit a picture-perfect springboard uppercut, did Claudio. He signaled for the giant swing. But Joe fired off an upkick, causing Claudio to fall right into the Coquina Clutch and immediately tapped out. This was like Gunther tapping to Jey Uso at WrestleMania. It was so quick. There was no time. It was just tap, tap, tap. And that was the end of that. You know, look, in this case, to show that just like that, it can end that quickly. If you're Jon Moxley, your AEW World Championship is in jeopardy. Because it could just be over within the blink of an eye if this man gets that choke applied. And if it does, then that means we would have a new AEW World Champion. We should all be so lucky. So Joe stood tall as Wheeler Yuta and Marina Shafir and Jon Moxley appeared at ringside. Powerhouse Hobbs, though, appeared with a chair to provide some backup. Hobbs waffled Claudio in the back with a chair repeatedly as Moxley just looked on, had no real emotion or expression on his face. He's just watching on from the outside. And Joe then set the chair up. We've seen this before. He set the chair up upside down with the legs facing up. And he delivered a front face suplex to Claudio onto the chair, crushing his ribs. This was payback for what they did to Katsuyori Shibata last week and then Hook the week before that. Joe stared down Moxley while holding the chair high in the air. They plugged the cage match for next week. So I thought it was a solid enough main event tonight. Not nearly as good as the main event we got last week. No great wonder here that Joe would get the win. Wouldn't make sense to do it any other way because Joe is heading into a championship cage match on the show next week. The post-match stuff I thought was actually very underwhelming. Now, they could always do something tomorrow. They could shoot another angle tomorrow because they are doing Collision in the same building. They're going to be live on TBS. I thought overall, top to bottom, this was a perfectly average show. There was some good wrestling on the show. We get good wrestling on the show every single week. But there are certain weeks where the show just clicks like it did a few weeks ago in Boston. This was not that. It was a very average show. And we really are no closer to knowing what the key matches outside of the Owen are going to be on the Double or Nothing card. We still don't know. Now, Beach Break should clear a little bit of that up because, you know, it's a big show next week as far as the main event. And I think, you know, the decision that Bobby Lashley is going to make. So I would suspect coming out of next week's show, we'll have a lot more clarity on the key matches. We're going to have to. But as far as that show next week, what we know so far is really just two things. Well, three things. Lashley's going to make his decision. I think we're going to see the AEW debut of Cedric Alexander. It's just what I think. I haven't been told that or anything. That's just my thoughts on that. Hangman Page and Will Ospreay are going to be teaming up to take on Konosuke Takeshita and Josh Alexander. And Jon Moxley will defend the AEW World Championship against Samoa Joe inside of a steel cage. I think the best part of this, the best news to come out of this, is that there was no mention of next week being a four-hour show. So it looks like they're going to divide it up 2 hours on Wednesday, 2 hours on Thursday, would be my guess. Because if it was going to be some big four-hour blockbuster, back-to-back Dynamite and Collision, they would have said that. And they didn't. Thank God. That's a good thing. So that'll be Beach Break next week. Here's a Twitter poll. What did you think of Dynamite from Detroit? 35% thumbs up for tonight's show, 21.2% thumbs in the middle, and 44% thumbs down. So that is an overall thumbs down for Dynamite tonight with well north of 1,200 votes in. You can vote at Solomonster. I'm just stating the results. It's all on you. You guys can go vote. Don't look at me. Let's take a look at your super chats before we get on out of here. Where are we at on the likes? I have not mentioned the likes. We are at 373. That's terrible. We've done so much better before. We need it. We need at least 20 more. What am I saying? 20. We need at least 23 more if we want to do Be the Booker. Otherwise, there is no Be the Booker. And then I am not back live with you again until Saturday night for Backlash. So get those thumbs up. Let's take a look at the early super chats here. We are going to kick off with our boy, David. Best of luck for HOG this Friday, Commissioner. Liking the card. You even dropped a nice tease for a big announcement. Hopefully you are able to catch 1Z of sleep this weekend. David, I don't even know if I'm going to get 1Z. I don't even know if 1Z is going to be possible. I'm going to try. Friday is going to be a very hellacious day. It's a very, very early day for me. Gabriel Boss says, if you think Jamie should beat Monet, then you must know that Monet is not losing back-to-back pay-per-views. So you will be upset that Athena will lose to her. It is hard to imagine Mercedes losing one match, let alone two. So you are not wrong in that. We got Dry Chicken with us. I'm making a funny prediction. And WWE and AAA will be tempted to do it. El Grande Americano wins the AAA Mega Championship this year. I could totally see that. I'm predicting also that Tony Khan will sign Shayna Baszler, Braun Strowman, Gallus, the Good Brothers, and Elena Black to ROH temporarily. I don't see Braun going to AEW or Ring of Honor. Braun Strowman's not going to Ring of Honor. I don't think he's going to AEW either. AEW. Says he thinks Tony Storm, Mariah May, Tiffany Stratton, Harley Cameron, and Carmen Petrovic. They're his favorite blondes in wrestling. I thought I was your favorite blonde in wrestling. Motherfucker, what are you talking about? Now you're getting me hot. Boy, he's a fan of a lot of people. Says Jamie Hayter, Becky Lynch, Isla Dawn, Jakara Jackson, Gigi Dolan. Those are his favorite redhead gingers in pro wrestling. But he's got to give AEW some how they handle their champions and title belts. I know they have too many belts, but the champions are not overexposed. Yeah, they just throw them in eliminator matches when they don't know what else to do with them. Jerome Eugenio, Ospreay versus Hangman is the real main event. For me, it is. Dog Lover says, I hope you stub your toe tonight, Solomonster. Thank you for the money. I'll wrap my toe in the dollar bills. Joseph Stewart says, buy or sell Luke Skywalker or Anakin Skywalker. How about I don't give a shit, Skywalker? I don't watch Star Wars. Since you asked the question, I will go Luke Skywalker. Was never a Star Wars guy. I don't know. That Captain Kirk always bothered me. Also, do you know why WCW had to change their logo in 1999 as well as the Nitro set? I don't think they had to do anything. I think it was just a choice on their part to change things up. I thought that logo absolutely sucked. That, like, space-looking logo when they changed it in 99. I hate that fucking logo. I was not a fan of that at all. Trill Mexican, I will listen to the review tomorrow, but the simple fact that Solomonster played Back to Love by Ultra Boss tells me this Dynamite review will be one for the history books. Good night, everyone. I know Trill Mexican enjoys him some Ultra Boss. It's a great song. I don't blame you. Joseph says, were you a fan of Macho Man Randy Savage changing his look in 1999, as well as him forming Team Madness with Gorgeous George, Medusa, Ms. Madness, a.k.a. Molly Holly, and later Sid Vicious? No and no, I wasn't. I got to be honest with you. I was not a fan of really anything that the Macho Man did in those last couple of years or so that he was in WCW. He got so big. He was so roided up. And you add to that, his knees were just beaten to shit, so he could barely move. So now he could barely move, and he's far too big. And he's doing all this weird stuff. Like you said, he's got all these women around him and stuff. Like, this was not the Macho Man that I enjoyed watching, you know, in his heyday. He was a shell of what he used to be. It was sad to see him like that. It was even worse, those couple of appearances he made, or the one appearance, in TNA. That was even sadder. So I try not to even really go back and watch any of his like late stage WCW stuff, because I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like anything he was doing back then. The last really good thing to me that he did in WCW was the feud with DDP. That was the last thing he did in WCW that I really cared about. That was good stuff. Project Libertad. Am I the only one that thinks eliminator matches are a dumb concept? Why have a match on regular TV and then have it again a few weeks later in a pay-per-view? Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of them. If it was like an every now and then thing, but I feel like they lean on them far too often when they just don't have anything, any other creative ideas for what the champion should be doing. Instead of coming up, like, they had a great story with Tony and Mariah, right, that played out over a period of months. And not every story can be like that. But instead of, like, coming up with another story, even if it's only a short-term one, you know, before we get to All In, let's just throw her out there and have these random eliminator matches every single week. It's just lazy, you know? And we had two of them on the show tonight. I just think it's lazy. MGM Ballin, celebrating 10 months of membership, doesn't feel real being a Knicks fan right now. Incredible. I don't know how they pulled off two wins in Boston, but good for them, man. It's exciting. It's an exciting time to be a New York sports fan. I don't know how long it's going to last, but let's enjoy it. Let's enjoy it while it lasts. Yeah, that was a hell of an end to the first game, and it was a hell of an end to the second game too. Joseph Stewart, I want to make a prediction. Dominic Mysterio, Braun Breaker, and Jacob Fatu will be top three faces of WWE in the future. I can agree with that. Griga, of all the inventions over the last 100 years, the dry erase board has to be the most remarkable. Keep up the great work, Solo. So not the portable phone with the one little pane of glass that you just touch and you could do everything on it. The dry erase board is more remarkable than that. I don't know if I agree with that. Joseph Stewart, where do you think Bo Dallas, or when do you think Bo Dallas will return? He'll return whenever the Wyatt Six returns. When does the Wyatt Six return? Hell if I know. I stopped caring a long time ago. At this point, I don't even care. They're back when they're back. They lost a ton of steam. I don't know that they're going to be able to get it back. Tuxedo, thank you for the 12. I appreciate that. Duff's Vids as well, $4.99. What did one hat say to the other hat? You wait here, I'll go on ahead. Thank you, Def Spitz. Ed Swoggle, a lumberjack went to chop down a tree. When the tree said, "You can't, I'm a talking tree." Lumberjack said, "You may be a talking tree, but you're going to die a log." Gonna die a log. Duff's Vids, why do French people eat snails? They don't like fast food. Thank you. Also, did you hear about the guy who invented the knock knock joke? He won the Nobel Prize. That's definitely a dad joke. That is the definition of a dad joke. Joseph says, were you a fan of the Addams Family? Yeah, not a huge fan, but I saw the first movie. And yeah, I guess there was a TV show too, but yeah, I mean, I wasn't like, I was like a big Dick Tracy guy. Addams Family. Yeah, Adam's Family's cool, but I wasn't like a huge fan or anything like that. Duff's Vids says, what does a nosy pepper do? Gets jalapeno business. Gets jalapeno business. Very good. Oz and Gloria says, Limp Bizkit. Oh, when we were talking about late 90s and early 2000s bands. You know, Linkin Park. I know they have a new lead singer now, but you could put Linkin Park in there too. Yeah, he mentions Limp Bizkit and Prodigy. Of course, you got System of a Down. Godsmack. Mudvayne. Soil. Duff's Vids, how do you keep a bagel from getting away? Put locks on it. Oz and Glorious also says the cardigans and Matchbox 20. Oh, God, Matchbox 20. Wallflowers, right? One headlight. So long ago, I don't remember when. That's when they say I lost my only friend. Drowning Pool. Oh my God, Incubus. Drive was one of my favorite songs there for a while. Song Drive by Incubus. Green Day. Creed. Justin G. No love for Die Totenhosen. Sigh. Back to Foodie. I have absolutely no idea what language you're speaking in this super chat, but thank you, Justin. Thoughts on Nickelback? I think Nickelback got a lot of very unnecessary hate. There are many Nickelback songs that I enjoyed. Even the one they used on Raw there for a while. Uffman says Darius equals 1999 Dante equals 2001. No cap. EJ Nduka has not been presented on AEW because his physique outshines most of the roster, reportedly. Does the roster need to bulk up? Well, apparently that report has been debunked. I mean, that report sounded ridiculous to me when I read it. Dry Chicken says, predicting an MJF versus Bobby Lashley match at All In. Well, it's funny you mention that since I've predicted that very thing in the last few weeks. On the streams. Duff's Vids, rest in peace to boiling water. You will be missed. Oz and Glorious, kind of kills me that the by far best reaction or best faction, rather. I said a reaction. Best faction in AEW is a Vince McMahon creation, the Hurt Syndicate. We need Jay White, Juice, and the Guns back for a feud. Yeah, that'd be fine, but Jay White keeps getting hurt. he can't seem to get out of his own way. That's the problem. If it's not Jay White, it's Juice. And when Juice is not hurt, it's Jay White. It's always one or the other. Oh, there's Justin. It's Die Toten Hosen to you, English speakers. I'm getting my German citizenship. Oh, very cool. Did I enjoy the anonymous Raw GM laptop? No. Oz says, Mother Wayne can comfort me too. If you ever need a shoulder to cry on, Mother Wayne will be there. Terrible Dry Chicken says Mother Wayne will get a piece of chocolate from Stokely Hathaway very soon and turn on Christian Cage. I'd rather see Mother Wayne join the Hurt Syndicate than I would Stokely and FTR. Little Baby Fire Panda, look at this, dropping $50. Oh my goodness, wow. Thoughts on Nikita Lyons? Were you expecting to see her on the list of releases? Also, did you see her in Evolve? She was spamming taunts during her introduction, and it was super cringe and awful. I have not seen a Nikita Lyons match in many months. I don't know if there have been improvements from what I saw last time. Evidently, they see something in her, or she would have been included in this latest round of cuts. I think it was telling that she effectively got demoted from NXT to Evolve. Yeah, it's one of those things where I look at what I've seen of her in the past, and when I think of what we see on television on the main roster every week and the talents that those women have, there's a disconnect there. Has she made the necessary improvements to kind of get closer to that level? I can't give you an honest answer one way or the other. I don't think so. But if they feel like she's worth investing in and can make the money down the line, they may be a little more patient with her than they would be for someone like a Dakota Kai. Which is not even fair to say Dakota, honestly, because Dakota's very good. Whatever it was about Dakota, whether it was the injuries or whatever. Yeah, it's a better example would be, you know, any number of NXT talents that ended up on that list, or even, you know, some of the women who were on the main roster but were from NXT and, you know, may not have the experience level of some of the veteran talents. Yeah, there are some people that they're just not going to be as patient with as they would others, and evidently that's how they feel about Nikita. So beyond that, I really don't have any opinion. Liam, again, thank you for the 12, and thank you again for the sign. That was the coolest part of tonight's show, honestly. We got Slow King. Oh, you got me, brother. You got me, dude. Thank you, Slow King. David Theory, and with the $21 super chat, the Lucha Mask that AEW has... Oh, we read this one already. Yes, David pointed out that they have another Lucha Mask that is decorated for All In Texas. They love their masks. Did they make a Harley Graham mask as well? BCOM, see clearly, I still want Kevin Knight. Tell him, Solo, please. I can't. He's going to Japan. He's not going to be around. You got to tweet him yourself. Bread Heart. Hater, hater, do. Where are you? We have some work to do now. Hater, hater, do I see you? We need some help from you now. Thank you, Bret Hart. Justin G gifted a membership to Andre Israel. So Andre is now a channel member. Very cool. Oz says, love this jam. The name of the mariachi track. I don't know. I don't have it in front of me. It's from the YouTube library. Safe to use. Quite catchy, though. Michael Darcy, not only is it Ospreay's birthday today, but it's also Owen Hart's, Kevin Owens, and my birthday today. Thanks for all that you do, Solo. Well, happy birthday, Michael. I forgot, that's right, May 7th is Owen's birthday. His birthday is in the same month that he passed away. Dried Chicken says, we need to order El Grande Americano, some rice with hot peppers, tacos, real American beer, and Terramana to celebrate. Oh, I'm sure the celebration is on. I'm sure he's celebrating as only he can. But you see, he's got to maintain his physique. He keeps himself in good shape, so if he eats all of this food, he's going to walk around with a pot belly, and we can't have that. HBKC83, when can we get a video or reel of Solid Monster's funniest moments? I did a video. I think it was like an end of the year video in 2020. 2020 or 2021. With a lot of kind of humorous clips from the year. It was a lot of work. I haven't done one since. I actually have a lot of these clips saved. But as far as putting together a reel, I'm sure the occasion will come at some point, but it's going to be a lot of work to go through. All you got to do is tune into the live streams. You're almost guaranteed to have at least one every single night. Arabian Night, I agree with Will. The AEW's talent in-ring are better, but only the men. AEW also allows their wrestlers more in-ring time. WWE, though, has better women's division. It's a fair point. We got Drew McIncock sending a super chat to extend the review. Well, you've achieved that. Well, we did hit the likes goal, so we are going to be doing Be the Booker. Warhawk Rambo. Better heel, MJF or Gunther? Two different kinds of heels, but both of them rock. Two generational heels, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, they're two totally different styles, so I don't feel comfortable saying one is a better heel than the other. I think sometimes there are times where it feels like MJF tries a little too hard, and then there are times where, you know, he's the best heel in the business. Gunther is fantastic in his role, so I like them both as heels. But if you were to ask me right now at this moment, the answer is Gunther. At this moment that you are asking me this question, my answer is Gunther. The Juliet, no new Pope yet, only black smoke. Interesting. Okay. I haven't really been paying attention, but thank you for the... I haven't been paying attention to anything in the news, so... To be fair, that included. Terrible dry chicken. Why did the hairdresser win the race? He knew a shortcut. Uh-huh. Very good. Very good. Arabian Night, Mariah could stay now that her friend Thecla is in. Well, her other friend Mina is on the way, but I think... The heart wants what the heart wants. And I think what the heart wants in this case is to go to WWE. And that is where I think she's going to end up. More. Do you agree with JD's rants? I find some dramatic. Some of them are dramatic. They're his. They're not mine. So. But do I agree? Well, if you watch TNT every week, we agree on some things and we disagree on others. That's what makes the show work. But he has his style and I have mine. What works for him would not work for me. Mr. Ruby Dog, show me on the doll where NXT hurt you. Where NXT hurt me? Where did NXT hurt me? I have no idea what that's about. By the way, there was a great match on Tuesday. A very hard-hitting match between Jordan Grace and Julia that if you did not see, you should check out. Fried Chicken, why couldn't the bad sailor learn the alphabet? Because he always got lost at sea. And last one, why did the weatherman's cheeks turn pink? He saw the climate change. Thankfully, that's the last one from Dry Chicken. No offense. And Ufman Entertainment renewed his membership for 49 months. Also, a mega happy birthday, he says. Mega happy birthday shout out to Mrs. Oof, whose birthday is now technically tomorrow, Friday. She's currently watching now because she is a Solid Monster girl. Well, that right there, that's how you know she's the one. She's the smart one. Well, I want to say hello to Mrs. Oof, and I want to wish a very happy birthday to her as well. I hope that you give her everything she wants and you make her very happy. Happy wife, happy life, as they say. But thank you, Oofman. 49 months. Man, he's right there. He's like right at the top of the pile right there. And be calm, see clearly. Would Kevin Knight let me hug him? I don't know. Probably not with... He'd probably take out a restraining order is what he would do with all these messages. My goodness, I know that's what I would do. He wouldn't let you within 50 feet of him. You got to calm down there. You're literally in your name. It says be calm. And you're doing the exact opposite. You need to calm down. I'm a little worried about you. He'll be back from Japan soon enough. He's got to go do some Super Junior stuff. Well, we did hit the proper likes goal tonight, although it took a while to get there, but we did hit it. So let's go ahead and be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Let us go and be the booker. It is time. You will not find this anywhere else but right here. Gonna make some updates to this soon. I just haven't had time. Tag team, be the booker. We get to do the hard job. It's not easy being the booker. Everybody's always criticizing you. Everyone's always second-guessing your decisions. You want to make money. You want to move tickets. The pressure, it's just overwhelming. So we book three matches. Every time we do this, we try to have a women's match, a men's match, and a tag team match. And we try to book the best possible matches that we can. And what we're starting with here is Chad Gable and Otis, the former Raw Tag Team Champions. Alpha Academy kicking us off. See, Otis looks weird here without the beard. He's clean shaven in this image, and it feels wrong. It just feels wrong. Blue Neon. I don't know why I call you Blue Onion. You should change your name. Blue Onion, there should be a manager section for Be the Booker. Well, it's funny you mention that. Because that is one of the ideas that I have considered. And also possibly adding a round to Be the Booker of matches. Like WWE just inducted its first match into the Hall of Fame, for example. And I'm thinking that we have a special round maybe of Be the Booker where we throw in some matches, good and bad. Just to add a little flavor to it, you let me know what you think. That's there's some potential additions and updates coming to Be the Booker in the future. So stay tuned. But it's going to be Alpha Academy against Techno Team 2000. I was optimistic until we landed on Techno Team 2000. Who is that other? I always forget who that other guy is. This is Eric Watts, but who the hell is that guy on the left? Got his fucking name. All right, women's Be the Booker. Marcus says, what the fuck are those guys? Marcus was not watching WWE in 1995. You should be very, very fortunate. Consider yourself lucky that you weren't, because that's where that gimmick is from. We have all read everything. Eva Marie kicking us off on the women's end. All read everything. Oh, Chad Fortune. That was the guy. Chad Fortune and Eric Watts. Techno Team 2000 was 1997. No, they weren't. Techno Team 2000 was 1995. What are you talking about? It's going to be Eva Marie against Willow Nightingale. And I got to tell you something. Willow is good enough to bring that, I think, to a good match. I'm a fan of Willow. And I think Willow can try to turn chicken shit into chicken salad. So I'm giving that the bell. Willow is awesome. And in our main event, we have the Indie God, the Deathmatch King, Matt Cardona. See who he's going to be facing. Mr. Chelsea Green in the main event. Liv Morgan gives you her room key. Now pick a stipulation. So we have to pick a stipulation. If we want to go to Liv's room, we have to pick a stipulation. So, of course, I'm picking a fucking stipulation. I mean, my God. Well, I mean, Cardona fancies himself the Deathmatch King, so we probably need some sort of hardcore stipulation here, right? Oh, man. A lumberjack match. I know what I'm pushing here. I know what button I'm about to push after the drum roll. Matt Cardona against the Ultimate Warrior in a lumberjack match. Awful. How long do you think the Warrior would tell Cardona the match is going to go? 60 seconds? You think he allows it to go longer than 60 seconds? How long did he give Triple H at WrestleMania 12? That's about how long this match would go. Oh, man. Hey, Markel, what's going on? Markel's with us. Was at the show, just came back. I liked it. Markel was at the show in Detroit tonight. It's good to hear from you, brother. I'm glad you enjoyed it. 1 out of 3, yeah, it's not a good night. Not a good night for Be the Booker, and we'll have to just regroup, do better on Saturday. Because I am not going to be here on Friday night. Just to remind you, I will be in Chicago at House of Glory. We have Waging War 2025 and a pretty darn good card, if I do say so myself. Cedric Alexander in action against Mike Santana. This is Cedric's first match since leaving WWE. We have Indy Hartwell back. She's going to be wrestling Miyu Yamashita. Really one of the pillars of Tokyo Joshi Pro. We just saw her on Dynamite last week. Rich Swann takes on Charles Mason. We got Zilla Fatu defending his crown jewel title against Matt Riddle. And a lot more. A lot more than that. And I might even have a special announcement to come out and make on this show. We may have a little announcement to make. So if you can't be there live, try to be there live, because it's always fun. Tickets are still available, but you can also stream the show on Triller TV Plus. So that is where I will be on Friday night. That's why the next time I'm with you live will not be until Saturday night. That'll be after Backlash. Hey, Juan Ocampo is with us. Juan says, got a whole bunch of catering for Friday, so I won't be able to see you in Chicago for Hog, unfortunately. Hope you come back soon. Tell Charles to suck it. Oh, I will. I'll be sure to do so. Will Zilla Fatu go to WWE in the future? I'm sure he will, yes. Dry Chicken, Randy Orton will beat John Cena at Backlash, but he will not walk out with the title belt. Well, if you don't walk out with the title, that's a loss. Ugh. There's the Triple H statue. Fucking thing is the stuff of nightmares. How that was ever approved, I'll never know. If anybody ever made a statue that looked like that of me, I would burn it. Dried Chicken, Matt Cardona against the Ultimate Warrior, Chelsea Green as the special guest referee. Justin G, imagine saying tomorrow we only belled Eva Marie. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Like, the only match I gave a bell to and Be the Booker was an Eva Marie match. And Duff's Vids, why should you always knock on the refrigerator before opening? Because the salad dressing. Because the salad dressing? Oh, God. A little delayed reaction there.
You suck.
It took me almost 10 seconds to get that one. And then it just hit me. There was a delayed reaction there. Jeez. Oh, man. That was pretty bad. All right, well, thank you, guys. At least we had a longer stream this Wednesday than we did last Wednesday. So this was fun. Again, the next time I'm with you live is Saturday night after WWE Backlash, the final match between John Cena and Randy Orton, or so they claim. I don't know. John Cena's on Saturday night's main event at the end of the month. I won't be here for that. But he'll be wrestling on Saturday night's main event, most likely wrestling. He'll be on the show. I don't know what he'll be doing. I imagine he'll be wrestling. So it's always possible we get some kind of fuck finish this weekend. And maybe this won't be the final John Cena-Randy Orton match. Maybe they'll run it back again later this month. But if you want my Backlash predictions, they're up on the channel in a separate video. So be sure to go check that out. Be well. Stay safe. Thank you, Aaron. Aaron says, have a safe trip. See you guys for the Backlash review this weekend in episode 912 of The Sound Off. Until then, take care.